Welcome to the Amateur Movie Review Hour. I'm Trevor, and with me I got Megs, and I got Josh.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't really have a topic here to talk about at the top.
What kind of car was that in the car?
I believe it was a Lincoln something.
It's like modified, definitely.
But it's a Lincoln, but it's definitely a modified Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's probably what, night or early mid 70s
model? Yeah, it'd probably be, I would have guessed that.
Yeah. Like they're trying to copy like the Rolls Royce model, you know, to a point with that front end.
The front end.
It was a Lincoln Continental Mark III.
Mark III.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, that I believe that front end had, you know, the grill and all that had some work to it. That had to have been custom.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a guess that that was not how the Lincoln Continentals were produced.
No. My grandmother had the Mark IV.
Okay.
Which was just a few years later.
Yeah.
And the front, of course, the front is a little bit similar because it was a very luxurious, beautiful boat that she drove.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't that wasn't that thing.
No.
Most comfortable car I've ever ridden in my life.
Yeah.
That's the Lincoln.
I have been in a Lincoln, and they were something.
Mm-hmm.
I would not mind buying a Lincoln Continental because I think they're a very cool, sexy car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's two things Lincoln did. Saved the slaves, made a comfy car. Nice for all. Thank you, Lincoln.
Yeah.
The Continental.
Yeah.
My grandmother had two different Continentals, and they were gorgeous cars. Nice. I miss them.
I thought I'd just ask you what, because this movie poses the question of, are there demons? And can demons possess cars? There's no evidence I have. I'm just curious.
you didn't bring us any evidence?
No. Well, sure. There's fictional evidence. See Christine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's also that. Can it take over something, an inanimate object?
Yeah.
I think that's the big, you know. And we've, you know, you see things over the years. Dolls mm-hmm. are a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a Patton Oswalt joke. It was Deathbed, the bed that eats people. And he's like, this was a serious script that someone pushed my way. Deathbed, the bed that eats people.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
I would give it a watch. Yeah, I watched this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if
there was a machine one, right? Where like it was a printing press something like that.
Well, there were two. There was one called the Mangler.
The Mangler, I remember that one, yeah.
And I believe there was another. Oh.
Was it a mangle? I mean, like a.
It was some type of like.
I thought it was a printing press for some reason or something.
Well, it was like a mangle is a press, but for for fabric, you know, like a
that
press.
Might have been
I believe
one,
that's
yeah.
what it was a clothing
factory. A clothing
factory.
Mangle, yeah. Okay.
And not a printing press. And there might be a printing press one. Yeah. I
and what
don't
levels
recall.
Can the demons, you know, control electronics, you know sure. what I mean? Like cars are a little way more advanced when it
now,
comes to that, you know.
Now.
But even back in the day, a full combustion engine still has electrical involved, you know?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes it does, yeah. but the electronic components are very simple.
Yeah.
They didn't need a computer to do that because
what if it was like with or without
it had
the
a
power
carburetor,
steering?
Yeah. If it had a carburetor, there was no need for an electronics. Because it was really all just analog.
That didn't come around until the like late 80s, early 90s.
But 70s is when it was being introduced into consumer cars.
Okay.
But fuel injection, electronic fuel injection, I would like to make a guess and say maybe 60-ish.
Yeah.
70-ish.
I mean, not to the level it is now.
Not towards
course,
the level
yeah.
it is now. No,
not even remotely close, but.
Yeah, and see, same with the car, like the car in Christine when it was possessed, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That car wasn't the same as this car, had zero electronics in it.
Yeah, minus the radio.
Compared to what we have today. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's also that. With a car, you don't necessarily even have to picture the demon possessing the car as mm-hmm. much as just controlling it, like almost like driving it as an invisible entity.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Can it control electronics though?
Well, there's the ghost in the machine.
That's what I was gonna. Yeah, the whole ghost in the machine idea. Yeah,
you could just layer it on top of that and say, yeah. Of course, a demon can possess a fucking computer, or like a toaster, or like a fucking.
It's a techno demon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's always dancing to EDM.
Antennas.
Like,
yeah.
And it's got like pink hair.
Yeah. Colored nails. Wears plastic chains.
Always eating Molly.
Not you, Molly.
No, she doesn't have to worry. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny when they bring in when a movie involves a haunted or a possessed car.
Yeah.
It's not inanimate because it moves, but it's not a living.
Mm-hmm.
Object. I mean, outside of those ones, you got Maximum Overdrive, you know,
on that one.
Literally like a Jeep with a submachine gun on top that's moving on its own.
But that's more of like the machines have come alive. Yeah. Like it's like that the Terminator situation.
Yeah. Just a different level of it.
I believe it's been a long time since I've watched the movie and even the short story. I thought it was a comet that was passing over, and it all the electronics were like, nah, fuck, humanity must die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reprogrammed everything, even if it doesn't have any kind of computer board.
Which Josh was saying about the machine gun being used. Yeah. Like, how would it control that?
Yeah, what's
how?
It? Yeah.
But, you know, cocaine did a lot of that writing.
Yeah.
After a comet causes a radiation storm on Earth, machines come to life and turn against their makers.
That was back in that whole, like, radiation just falling to the ground suddenly turns things, you know, like.
But the most interesting place was a truck stop in North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's where we made our stand.
Well, that's where they made their stand.
Well, it's so little, there's so little population there that they don't really have a fight back situation. Whereas in a large city, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah, it's easy to jam up all the cars. You just make a big fucking traffic jam. Yeah. Like, haha, get past that.
It's not going to go anywhere in New York. You're like, okay, can't go anywhere.
Doesn't matter how big the car is, it's not going to be able to push hundreds and thousands of tons.
Yeah.
Like, they would have one of those big dump trucks that they use in the mining facility would have to eventually try to work its way to the city, but can't because it'll run out of gas as soon as it gets up the hill and probably 10 miles down the road.
Dude, one of the few live action scenes with Yardley Smith. Yardley.
In which one?
In Maximum.
Oh, Overdrive. Yes.
I think
she
was like a teenager in that or something.
Yeah, she was maybe late teens. I'd say maybe like 20, 21, 22.
She was also in The Legend of Billie Jean.
That's right. Yeah.
Prudence. Or what? Wasn't it Prudence?
I don't recall her name.
She had a weird little name. Yeah.
Yeah, a little name for a little
Fire's
person.
Fire.
That's just what I wanted to talk about briefly, because it's always funny when it's a possessed car.
Yeah, it is funny. It's just like, what is happening? Because did you notice how easily they came to, like, they were just like, yeah, this car is possessed. Yes. There was no convincing. It wasn't like, hey guys, I don't think anybody's driving this car. They're like, nobody's driving the car. And they're like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, now we have a possessed car on our hands. Uh-huh. Like, they immediately believed it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't that whole, like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, like, no, there's obviously somebody driving it. It's a fucking car.
Yeah.
It doesn't drive by itself because it's 1977.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep, yep. Now, like...
Yeah, now we see it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I would like that. That would be a pretty cool movie now to do.
Because
then you could sort of hide that you could try to, it could be hidden in a way with the other ones, so it'd be hard to like really place, especially and if you give it a electronic license plate, which some states do carry,
you can change plates
and make itself different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it'd be intriguing to see something like that. I don't think it'd be really good, but.
What if it was about Hitler? It was like Hitler, the techno demon, takes over a car, and it just plays techno music the whole time and runs over you know, the unfortunates. It's like, this is your ride. Get in.
I don't. If I heard that voice, I don't know what I would do. And I don't even know if I know it's Hitler. Like, I think it's just some guy impersonating Hitler.
Or like a German person.
Yeah, or a German person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would be very. I think I'd be entertained. I'd be like, all right, cool. And like, he's gone stereotypically German. I don't. What is the Amateur Movie Review Hour? Before we began our podcast, the three of us curated a list of approximately 100 movie genres. We then fed that list to a magical random generator that we use to provide us with a movie genre. The three of us take turns choosing movies to watch that fit into the chosen genre. We then watch that movie and attempt to return bi-weekly to review and discuss that movie. The only movies that we have banned are Marvel and DC movies from the past 15 years. I am not a professional movie reviewer. I just love to watch movies and then review those movies with my friends and you, my fellow screen fiend. The title of the movie tonight is The Car. The writers were Michael Butler, Dennis Chirac, Lane Slate. The director was Elliot Silverstein, or Orstein. I am not sure of that pronunciation. The actors featured were James Brolin, Kathleen Lloyd, John Marley, Elizabeth Thompson, and Ronnie Cox. And there were a few other individuals in there that I think were just notable for their time. May have been like maybe TV actors or maybe smaller role stuff in some other movies.
Oh, yeah. You had the cyclist in the beginning was Nikki from Young and the Restless.
Oh, okay.
She's been on Young and the Restless for, God, like 40 years.
Oh, wow. See, yeah.
So she's a big star in the soap opera world.
Okay.
She's still on the show.
All right.
But, yeah, I was like, who's that girl? She looks so familiar. And it's like, oh, it's Nikki.
Yeah, obviously people before my time. That I don't recognize. The release date was May 13th, 1977, and the runtime is 98 minutes. This was released about a week prior to Star Wars.
Oh.
Yeah, but that date sounded familiar. That's why I wanted to bring that up. And I wonder what would have happened if Star Wars didn't release the week after.
Yeah.
Wonder where this movie would have went.
Yes, we're...
Assume it's the same place it went.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same
thing. I don't
think
the sky was the limit on this one.
No.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
I actually...
Yes, it was fun.
I enjoyed the first half a little more than the second half.
Okay.
Because it kind of got a little goofy.
Yeah.
But the first half, it had that kind of old, you know, 1970s Americana... James Brolin was looking pretty hot.
Sure.
He has terrible taste in women. I don't know what the f*** was going on with that.
I have no idea either.
Kathleen Lloyd was on Magnum for a little while.
Okay.
And she was not attractive or entertaining on that either. And I was like, why? I mean, it's almost like they brought in kind of a not too attractive girl, you know, to be a more of a sidekick, and they didn't want it to be too romantic. But I think they did have a romance. I can't remember. Now I'm going to have to rewatch Magnum. But yeah, she had that. She was cute, but she wasn't hot enough for these lads. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, James Brolin was the sex star of this movie. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. He was shirtless, and what was it, the painting? Did you see the painting in the house?
Later on.
Yeah, she was like working on a painting of him.
Of him.
Yeah. I don't recall seeing that scene.
I saw that later. I was like, what is happening? Do they explain this painting? Like, I don't remember seeing her working on it.
I don't remember there like, being a painting or them even talking about painting.
She's like, I'm so lucky I live in a small town because I'd never have a chance with this guy in the big city. Like, what's happening? Why are you painting this man? It was very strange.
Yeah. The way they wrote her character, I believe Lane could be a woman's name, but I'm just gonna make a guess and assume that it's not because it was the 70s and Lane Slate is a female's name or a man's name as the writers. Yeah,
Lane is usually a man's name.
And you know, maybe it's due to that they're writing a female character with zero input. I'm just making a guess here.
I thought she was fine in the beginning, and she actually seemed pretty normal. Everything seemed pretty normal, and then all of a sudden it's like she did all the dumb broad stuff, you know, later on.
I get what they were trying to do with her in the beginning, making her quirky, seeming non-threatening, maybe a tad bit like, what did I do?
No, she was a music teacher, and and that's how she was. She was a music teacher in the 70s.
Yeah.
Is that what There's music teachers in the 70s were like? Yep. Quirky and always spitting television lines back at...
Yeah.
All right. Or movie lines.
They're goofballs.
All right.
It wasn't your like science teacher, your math teacher, anything like that. They were the fun ones because that was the, you know, that extra class that you didn't have to do any real work at. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Playing an instrument's a lot of work.
Oh, music teachers back in the 70s, they didn't necessarily teach. Well, I guess they had a little marching band in this.
Well, yeah.
But they were just there to teach you about music. Oh. So they would play the Music Man in class, and you would watch it. Or
and you would terribly play.
They would also teach you to do the square dancing.
I remember that in like elementary and
She's teaching elementary. Because
I saw like high schoolers.
Oh, I thought they were little kids.
There were some, but
small town. It might be one of those like schools that is K-8.
Yeah, and that's what I was presuming.
K-12.
It'd probably be a K-12. Yeah, I understand that, and I would be, if I was an individual who was like, man, I really want to learn how to play an instrument, but I'm stuck with her.
Yeah. We had a music teacher who she taught the instruments, and she did all the stuff, and she taught us to square dance, and she did the music stuff. But when I was at public school, before I transferred, the music teacher just taught you about, like, just played music for you in the classroom. There was no instrument situation.
Just clarinet.
Yes. They probably had another teacher for that stuff. It's always recorders. But the younger kids, you just had a teacher who just played music. So I don't know if she was a band teacher or if she was a music appreciation teacher.
Well, yeah, and that I was going to say, I didn't see her teach any music at all. The most that I saw her teach was about horses.
Okay.
She was like, hey, children, don't, you know, don't be, just be gentle and firm on your lead. And nothing, I think she told one of the students, you're too slow, Tommy. I don't know if Tommy was his name.
Goddamn Tommy, yeah.
But then again, no music, really, just like, keep up, Tommy.
Tommy was playing his ass off. She's just sitting there pointing fingers at him like he's the problem.
Yeah. She doesn't care. She's got the hottest guy in town for a boyfriend.
They're stepping in cow shit everywhere. There's horse shit. Poor Tommy.
The scene at the school.
He's got to take big whiffs of fucking hot cow shit into his mouth as he fucking tries to play that instrument. Yeah, imagine that. Tommy's fault.
And then her student that draws her with big old boobs. And
she loved that.
She's like, this is great. I've never had boobs this big. I don't think that was the quote, but yeah.
Not even close.
and it's really funny to see he's just drawing me naked in the 70s to like, what I assume now if somebody did that, they'd be like, oh shit, who's grooming who here?
If you drew someone with clothing now in school, you'd probably get in trouble.
Yeah,
clothing. You know what I mean? Probably not. Yeah,
back then, you can't take someone's likeness and put it on paper, or you're going to get sued. Okay,
I can see them laughing at it back then, but you have to understand that some of the people, like the teacher she was talking to, is going to be somebody who's born in the 1920s.
Yes,
and so she's going to have a very different outlook, and I think she would have known that as a woman who's working alongside older women. So she would have been a little bit more like, oh yeah, let's maybe we'll just you know, she probably wouldn't laugh as much about it.
And the other teacher had all the titties.
Yes,
she took them all. She took them.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had all the titties.
And the athleticism too.
Yeah, she was able to run pretty well, getting away from that car.
It's easy to run when you don't have the boobs.
No, yeah, no, no, opposite. No.
Oh, the
one with the boobs.
Oh, the hottie one. Oh, yeah, she was holding the little boy's hand running. Yeah.
Oh, no, that was a different one. Well, after she made the break from the cemetery and she almost got hit with the white shirt.
Oh, yeah, she was the more attractive one. She wasn't she Ronnie Cox's wife?
Yeah. Oh, girlfriend.
Or girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, so Ronnie Cox gets the good-looking one, and the Mr. Brolin gets the leftovers in the town.
That's apparently how it works.
I thought Ronnie Cox already, you know, locked that down, and that was why Brolin couldn't get her.
Nope. I might be wrong, but I thought it was boyfriend.
There's the casting couch, and then there's the favorite couch. So
yes.
Think, yeah. Somebody did well on the casting couch.
That's a guess. I chose this movie because I had never seen it. I had not heard about it. And I'm not going to say it inspired Stephen King at all, because I'm pretty sure this came out.
This was inspired by, I think...
Duel? I think it was Spielberg's.
Yeah, this was inspired a bit by Duel. And I think there was something else. Was it... What year did Carrie come out? Was it 19... Closer to 80?
No, I think Carrie was a 70s one. I think Carrie was his first one. Yeah, Carrie was Stephen King's first movie. But there was Steven Spielberg's Duel in 71 and Death Race. Death Race 2000.
Okay, so Carrie came out the year before this.
Yeah.
And I don't know how... I mean, it could very easily have been inspired because of the story.
Sure. But more, this was another studio's attempt to try and cash in on some of the success that Spielberg's Duel and Corman's Death Race 2000 had.
Well, especially because Dennis Weaver had the mustache, and he and Brolin look a lot alike in the movie. You know, you have that the stud with the mustache and all that stuff. So it's kind of like, oh, let's get a guy who kind of looks like Dennis Weaver and put him in a movie with a car.
And I wanted to see what a 77 car possession movie would feature, what the plot was about, where it would take place, and how they would explain the possession. But we don't get any explanation at all.
No, we get a bunch of side stories that never get explained either.
Yeah.
Like,
What do you think about the girl who was killed in the beginning? What do you think about her dad?
The doctor?
Yeah. What did you have any suspicions?
It seemed like it, but then they kind of felt like they dropped it.
Yeah,
that's
what it felt like to me. Like when that scene happened, I was like, he definitely did something to like make this car come about.
Yeah.
So I think they were trying to elude and keep it like based on like reality, like not supernatural. So they were trying to say like, oh, maybe he's the guy, maybe he did it, because they were trying to point at the drunk alcoholic guy,
okay,
to a point, and then they were trying to point at the dad. So at that point they were saying no one did it until somebody said there was nobody driving the car.
Sure. Until that, the end of the first act,
yeah,
where one of their suspects was fucking in the middle of the road when it came and killed the other guy instead.
And that's why I made it. That's what made it a three-act film. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I like to see how just nuts these movies can be.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like nobody did any final, like, real rewrites or edits, and they're just like, yeah.
This is the 1970s. Is, that did not happen.
But no, they followed the basic structure. Yeah. You didn't have to really sell it hard. It was just at the beginning, like, two light versions of these are the guys that did it, maybe. Even though you saw one that didn't, and then the first one you didn't really know about. So then you can actually kind of point towards the doctor, and then you're like, okay, maybe it's him. But then like everything goes off the rails and you realize it's a demonic car.
Yeah, I think they could have cut like 10 minutes. There were a lot of unnecessary 10-second like shots that
in the desert scenes and whatnot.
And there was some could have been
the whole finding the boy could have been just like, hey, we found the boy, like they go could bring his body
they
in.
Could have done that at relatively at the same time when they found the girl.
He was a suspect. They needed him as a suspect. He was the suspect for a while, so they were like, oh, the boy did it, he murdered her and he did this.
Yeah.
So they needed to not find him for a while.
That works better if you never show us in the beginning that the car killed him. The audience always knows a little bit more than the characters ever do, because that's what we're supposed to know. I feel that they could have just shown the car driving and then left it at that without showing the car actually kill them.
Oh, they had to
give us the
that.
Audience. I understand.
We had to have the terror.
Sure, sure. And they could have made it just easily enough. I think it would have been better if, had they not shown that first kill and then had us try to believe
That it was the boy.
I think, just would have made it a little bit better.
I think they give it to us so that we can be like, no, don't. Yes. It's not the boy. It's the car. You know, they want people yelling in the theaters like, no, it's the car.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yes, yeah, yeah.
So I think that they want us in on it in that way. They, you know, just to be like, when are they going to find out that it's really the car?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we're on the edge of our seats.
Yeah.
But if they would have just from the beginning gone, drunk old man that beats his wife, the boy, and then the doctor, you know, all in that, like showing like a little bit of separation when the guy like left the wife out there or in between the kill, you know, so it could have been him driving the car still.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because creating that intrigue would have been cool, especially if you watch this in the 70s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'm guaranteed this video doesn't show like. It shows the big explosion at the end, you know, kind of deal, this and that. But you don't know that it's a demonic car necessarily. You know what I mean? Like,
they should have had some weird scene at a bar where some people get in a fight and a guy stumbles out all angry. And then they, you know, maybe that's the guy they kind of assume. Like, you know, there's a new guy wandering around town.
Yeah.
Where'd he
Similar
go?
Car.
So maybe they're searching for this guy. Like, we saw him stumble outside. We didn't see where he went. And we don't know what kind of car he drives, but it could be that guy.
Yeah.
So the whole time they're searching for this guy. Maybe they find him later, but he's dead. You know, like something weird. But they didn't really do a great job with that setup, you know, to give us any other ideas.
Just to create the suspense of who did this possibly, you know what I mean? Sure, you know overall that you get the idea that it is the car doing it all or whatever, but like just a little bit of evasiveness, especially in the 70s, you know what I mean? Just a little bit.
Again, the
70s
were the worst time for movies.
Yes.
Except for a couple of great films that were made. It was a terrible time in cinema.
But
just
once
terrible.
Again, it follows the 3X, so it's fine.
Yeah. Well, it follows the 3X. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily fine, but it follows the 3X structure.
That's all we want. All
right, you want to start this spoiler field review?
We already spoiled a bunch, but we'll spoil some more. Because we are the spoilers. I'll spoil your lunch. Spoil your day. I'll spoil your asado.
I like that one.
Yeah?
Yeah, the spoil asado. The movie starts with a quote from Anton LaVey, a noted LaVeyan Satanist. The quote says, "O great brothers of the night, who rideth out upon the hot winds of hell, who dwelleth in the devil's lair, move and appear." The title flashes on the screen and the credits roll over a blue filter night that turns into the morning in the Utah deserts.
That took way too long.
Yeah, yeah. As the night turns into day, a car drives alone on down a dirt road. Cut to two cyclists as they race one another through a very scenic canyon road. Soon, a matte black car is hunting the cyclists. The car has found the riders. With the horn blaring, the car dispatches the cyclists, leaving a gory mess behind. I hated that horn.
You didn't like it?
No. It was annoying.
I have a weird feeling that was there because of Duel. Because Duel was a semi.
That was a semi horn.
Yeah, and I kind of have a feeling that's why they inserted that horn.
So supposedly the horn was a Morse code X.
Really?
The letter X. I don't know why.
Okay.
Cross them out. Put a K. I don't know.
We cut to Wade, played by James Brolin, who's being woken by Lauren, who is played by Kathleen Lloyd. They talk briefly about his two daughters before they start to flirt and wrestle. Wade's two daughters listen in until the eldest removes them both from the closed door. Lauren gets the upper hand in the match when she grabs Wade's balls, thus winning the match. Wade wakes his daughters with a German accent. I'm guessing from, was it, were they Colonel Klink? What's that? Was it, which one?
Oh, what was it called?
The prisoner one.
The one with
Stalwart.
Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes. Yeah. That's what I'm guessing.
It was a popular show back then.
That's what I've heard.
And then did you notice the two girls were played by the Richards sisters?
No, I didn't know that they were the Richards sisters.
Those are the Richards sisters. The blonde was from Escape from Witch Mountain.
Oh.
And Kyle, the brunette, she was from Halloween. She was one of the little kids.
That's what I recognized her from. I'm like, what the fuck?
They worked a lot in the 70s and 80s. They were in a lot of like the Disney-esque shows too. Okay. And
I've probably seen them a couple more times.
Or you've seen them on The Real Housewives?
No.
That's what they are now. They are Real Housewives now.
Yeah, I don't watch that.
Yeah, I don't either, but it made me kind of sad that that's what they do now.
Well, it looks like they took their residuals somewhere great.
Yeah.
Or married.
They're really weird now.
So
whoa.
This is just a little thing, but I'm not sure how much this movie goes in the category technically, but it's okay.
I understand that. We're playing loose with the rules. We got a genre. We'll loosely
it's fine.
I'm just saying.
I was like,
I know. When I was watching it, I was like, huh, oh, there goes. It's not really part of the genre that we chose, but. Fucking, I don't care.
It's all good. Yeah.
There was a lot of car driving and motorcycle driving and truck driving and all kinds of driving.
There was a good portion of it that took place in vehicles. Yes. Was it one vehicle in particular?
Yeah, they weren't all together in the same vehicle. Well, there was the truck that the three guys were riding in, or weren't there some two in the back or something like that?
I don't recall, but I know there were at least three gentlemen in the front. Yeah,
that's a party.
That's a road trip. Yep. We cut to a young hitchhiker who is playing a French horn to the birds. This fucking motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna hitch on down the road with my French horn and hope somebody picks me up.
That guy, I had no problem with him getting run over.
Me neither. The hitchhiker witnesses a domestic dispute from his place on the dirt road, and then he is threatened by the abuser to get a move on or suffer his wrath.
To that 70s country life. He's like, what? I'll beat my wife as much as I want.
Yes.
You shut your mouth, Curly.
Yes. Lucky for the hitchhiker, a ride comes along. A matte black car nearly runs over the hitchhiker. Just when the hitchhiker believes the car is coming back to give him a ride, it collides with him violently. The abuser from his window perch observes the lifeless body of the hiker and vaguely sees the car. Cut back to Wade, Lynn Marie, and Debbie getting ready to ride into town on a motorcycle. Lynn Marie and Debbie want Wade to marry Lauren. After dropping the girls off at school, Wade goes by Amos's place, which is the abuser that had threatened the hitchhiker. Wade and the other deputies? Yep, Wade is a captain in the sheriff's office. Didn't even know that until right now. And without any good leads coming from the drunk wife abuser, they decide to put out an APB for a black car.
Did you see the coroner or whatever it was? Like,
I think it's in the next scene. Or are you talking about the sheriff when he's grabbing for the wife?
No. When the coroner's like grabbing the body. Like,
oh, I didn't see that. Sorry.
So when he's picking up the body, he gets stuff out of his car and it's like the black bag is already on the body, but he grabs a shovel.
Oh yeah. He's walking over with a big old. It's a flat shovel.
It's a big flat shovel. Yeah. And
I didn't notice that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that was great. I was like, oh, he's got a shovel.
It didn't make any. Yeah, there was like no sense at all there. I was like, well,
apparently he must have been so ran over he needed shovels to fucking get him off the dirt road.
Yep. That was great. I almost feel like that was just kind of thrown in there, like just put that on him.
This is my blood shovel.
The sheriff is a weird sheriff. Like the whole just gonna reach for your wife slowly.
That was such a weird side story that never got any. It was like he was in love with the wife.
That's what I got.
It was his first. He said she was the first. Uh-huh, she was the first one I ever loved.
Yes.
And they went to high school together. She was the first one he ever loved.
I glossed over that because I was just fascinated. Like, he wanted stuck her to on that shovel. Like, yeah. I couldn't.
He wanted her to leave the husband and come with him. Yeah. And he just kept reaching for her at all times. Like he was trying to grab her and run away.
Yeah.
The shovel reminded me of Dennis, though. He's like, I need my tools. He's like,
At the sheriff's station, Deputy Luke Johnson, played by Ronnie Cox, gives us details about the hitchhiker. Everett is stumped and he doesn't care for it. He's not having a good time because he doesn't know what to do. We cut to Lauren and a bunch of kids, in a band sitting in a circle playing their instruments in a park, it looks like. It's probably, I'm guessing, the school yard somewhere. The principal comes along to admonish Lauren about one of the students' drawings. It is of her naked with big boobs. Wade and Luke arrive to the school to talk with both of their girlfriends, except he is quickly called away to the murder scene of one of the bicyclists from earlier in the movie. Cut to the canyon road, where Everett is not happy to find out that one of the bicyclists wore a heart-shaped locket. When Wade and Luke arrive, Everett gives some details about the victims. Everett believes that the car that killed the hitchhiker is responsible for these deaths. This is what I saw. What I remember in this scene is the coroner coming down the bank,
yeah.
And he's carrying something, and he just has this like horrified look on his face, yeah. That is most comical. I fucking found it hilarious.
No, he's dragging one of those like aluminum gurney things.
Yes. I was like, geez, buddy.
That's what I'm saying.
Overemphasis.
Up until this point, and like I think what happens like coming up next, all this felt to me like was a TV cop show.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, very very rigid. Very, yeah. You know, like the story is very bland and fucking, you know, not bringing you a lot to the table. You're just like, hey, got a couple of cops here. There's a murder. Here we go. Let's find out what's going on here. And then it takes a turn. That's the aspect I do like, but it just, if you watch the first 30 minutes of this, that's what it feels like. It's an episode of like Emergency or like Hawaii 5-0 or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
everything's happening in like
yeah.
3 or 5 minute blocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, we're here for 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah. All right, now we're here.
This is your bit. Your bit. Here uh-huh. we go. Yeah.
So we cut back to the interior of the sheriff's office, where roadblocks are being set up and routes for patrols are being assigned to find the car. Everett tries to coerce Bertha, Amos's wife, to press charges. Luke, with the direction from Wade, checks out the gun situation. Instead, he sneaks out to his car and grabs his secret whiskey.
Secret, super secret booze.
Secret whiskey's the best.
He's a recovering alcoholic. That's why it's secret whiskey.
He ain't recovering from shit.
Not anymore. He's relapsing. Everett still tries to convince Bertha, but he's coming at her. He's like, I'm in love with you, Bertha.
Oh yeah.
Like, I want you, Bertha.
So I don't know what you're doing with the accent there, but
I'm with Bertha.
That's a good name, Bertha.
I think more Boss Hoggy. Like, I don't know, like that's what I, you know, I'm not gonna do it.
Sure. I don't even know. No, like something like that. Wasn't he high? Had like more of a high pitched voice.
Yeah. I'm in love with you, girl.
Yeah. That's the impression that I remember. You're the star
to my moon love. I don't know.
Moon love. Bertha runs away. In order to help Everett forget his pining, both he and Wade decide to go out for drinks. Except the car has arrived in town. The car starts to creep towards Amos, who has just told his abused wife and son to go home and stay home. It quickly accelerates, the car bearing down on Amos, but this motherfucker spries a mountain goat and just jumps to the side as the car careens into Everett. That motherfucker was not nimble.
No.
That was disappointing.
Yes, I agree.
Instant death.
I wanted more of his love story with Bertha.
Yeah, I think that would have been better than fucking Amos's dumbass.
Yeah, I really wanted more of the, like, if they'd killed Amos, then the Bertha and Everett love story could continue.
Yeah, Everett could have done everything that Amos did, and Bertha would have been like,
I wonder if there was a coin flip on this situation. Like, which one did we kill?
I think so, but the payoff would have been Bertha running over there and, like, holding his hand as he, you know, like, oh, my God, I love you. Amos just has a bigger cock. That's all it is. He's a piece of shit.
But Everett is dead. Wade and Amos yell at each other, getting nowhere, absolutely nowhere. That whole yelling match got nowhere. The only other witness was not very helpful. She's an old native lady, and she talks about demon possession, but Denson, who's the translator, who's also a native, doesn't want to or isn't willing to explain the supernatural part.
I think they're Navajo, right?
That's what the subtitle said was Navajo.
Oh, just the subtitles?
That's what the subtitle said. I don't know if they are of that tribe.
Area
because it would be, I don't know. I just don't know.
That's Sioux County or Sioux?
No,
or
I don't know where they filmed. But if we're speaking in terms of location in the film, like in the story, it was Utah. And I don't know. Now, acting as the sheriff, Wade tries to keep up morale with the other deputies. The car is spotted by another county who calls to confirm if it is the wanted car. Wade explains to them that, yeah, it is. But instead of dealing with that, Wade is dealing with the aftermath of Everett's death. This is about the same time that Wade is informed that the witness statement wasn't translated correctly. The car didn't have a driver. That's what the paraphrased translation is. No driver was possessed.
From the radio, yeah, the girl, yeah.
Callers received about Pete Kyle's body. As Luke continues to feed his relapse, we cut to the desert lands where the black car roams without roads. Like it's just a wandering monster out there on its own. Rumble, 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 rumble. Not a very good car
that was
sound.
I thought that was great.
The next scene is the marching band preparing or practicing in the racetrack.
The bell-bottom marching band.
Yeah, all of them.
Love it.
Deputy provides overwatch of this practice. Suddenly, the wind picks up, the horses get scared, and the students try to hold on to their music sheets. And in the distance, a horn blares. The car has arrived while the students, onlookers, and fair attendees run for the cliffs. The car, like a predator, has cornered Bertha and her son. Bowing down horses and riders alike allows the kids and the teachers to find shelter in the cemetery. Lauren teases the car as if it were some type of bully, which allows her friend Margie to make a run for safety or help. Wade, having heard the call for help, sends all units and himself to the cemetery.
So that horse stampede, did you see? One guy got fucked
up by a
horse.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't say anything about it in anything, but I guarantee you that guy got messed up.
I wonder
up.
If there's, did you look on Wikipedia or
no,
anything?
No, I didn't really, I didn't do a lot
that,
of research.
That probably might not be public knowledge, yeah. And it might be
like three people got really fucked up by
it's
horses.
It's possible, man.
Yeah.
It's
they were
possible.
Bad wranglers in this one, man.
I'm not calling this a crap movie. I'm just saying that the production value was low. So I'm going to say that the safety consultant was nixed from the budget. And somebody was like, yeah, everybody stay away from the horses in this scene.
And things weren't super strict
back
then. I
speculate.
Yeah, it wasn't super strict back then. They didn't have a lot of animal safety laws. Those didn't come in, I don't think, until like the
90s. Sure,
I think it was
80s,
the 80s,
90s, yeah.
But yeah, that whole scene, I figured out
it was
pretty
chaos.
I figured out that hallowed ground was a thing that this car couldn't enter.
That was easy from the
don't know that they would come to that conclusion because they are not watching a movie, they're living it. And so I wouldn't take for granted the fact that I'm just standing on the other side of an archway and start taunting the car.
Sure.
That was
dumb.
Mean,
where did that concept come
from?
Though?
So that's what I was going to get into that. So the concept of that is that cemeteries were usually iron bars, iron fences, enclosed cemeteries. The reason why it is iron is because of a lot of folklore and a lot of superstition. Iron acts like silverwood to werewolves, that it's a metal that it weakens or harms evil spirits.
Well,
so
it's also the howled ground
that
is
well too,
because it's blessed by the priest
ground.
Or whoever. Yes. So there's usually a blessing that's put upon the ground, the body inside. So the entire area, the ground, the church, it's all hallowed. It's all blessed.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be able to go onto hallowed ground. And
it's twofold. It's both of those. It's both of the things.
I just don't understand why she felt like, hey, I don't think he can drive in here. Just because he wasn't driving in there doesn't mean he can't just yet. Let's give it some time. And she just starts hurling these like obscenities at him, you're a loser, whatever.
Sure. And you'll never make your parents proud.
Does she think that the little stones are gonna protect the children? It just seemed like a very strange. I understood that she was trying to get her friend to be able to run away, but having the characters figure out really quickly that the car can't, as opposed to isn't, going onto the area or onto the hallowed ground is That's something that we as movie watchers can easily say because we watch movies.
Yes.
And and we know that it's not real.
Yes.
She's supposed to believe that where she's living is reality. And that was just dumb.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
I think that was a whole moment of feminism and it was trying to teach him a lesson.
I agree. I think they were trying to show how tough and
dare you.
Yeah, she's super tough because she's going to get stupid in a little while in the movie. She's going to do some stupid, stupid shit. So I think they wanted to give her a little bit of a power trip.
Yeah.
Before she does the typical dumb woman not paying attention to her surrounding situation.
Yeah. And also, like, don't talk shit to demon cars.
Yeah.
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 They don't care.
She's on the list. She's on his list.
Very high on the list. Mm-hmm. It's written in blood and exhaust fumes and oil.
Yeah.
The car decides to leave once it hears the sirens coming. And that's the end of the cemetery scene. Next, we cut to a lone deputy on the dirt road who spots the car on Carter's Road.
He's like the pinnacle of physical, like, just...
Well, not only that, but...
Drink it in.
This is the stereotype of man. This is the life. All I gotta do is watch a dirt road and sit on my fucking hood of my car. All he was missing was a beer. He probably had a flask on, I presume. No, I make a stereotype.
How dare you? You're stereotyping drinking cops here? Get out of here.
Yep.
They don't do that.
The deputy sounds scared now that he knows the car is coming. The deputy fires on the car that has stopped yards from him, and his shooting the car seems to make the car retreat. Wade directs everyone to the car's position over the radio. All pursuing units attempt to trap the car. The lead deputy that has been pursuing the car has the tables turned on him when the car traps the deputy. The car slowly pushes the deputy and his car over the side of the road. The horn blares its horn in victory as the deputy's car tumbles down the hillside in a fiery explosion.
Catches fire after the first roll.
Yes, yes.
I mean, they've pretty much proven that's all bullshit anyways, but that was a little extreme there. Like, that was just... bad special effect.
I agree. Once again, the remaining pursuing deputies play chicken with the car. The car does an uncanny roll that causes both of the deputy vehicles that were trying to trap him to explode or either careen off the road, killing all four of them.
And then emerges on the other side unscathed.
Yep, yeah. Completely unscathed. Right, straight on down the road.
So I guess they had four cars for this.
Yeah, about right.
Yeah, yeah. Big block, too, 460. I think he's screaming down the road, dude. Monster.
Just getting loose all over the dirt roads, too, man. They probably had a hard time fucking keeping that thing, like, from just fishtailing all over the place.
Probably had some Baja guys doing it because of the dirt.
Sure. Wade now faces down the car with his weapon drawn as he does an Akira skid with his motorcycle. Wade fires his .357 revolver, but it seems that the round misses the target. So he fires again, but no damage. And again, no damage. Wade decides to approach the car slowly. When he is close enough, the car window rolls down about an inch, and the door also pops open. This entices Wade to come closer. As Wade reached for the door is thrust into Wade, sending him reeling backwards into the desert. The car looms menacingly as Wade loses consciousness.
There's two things we skimmed over. Sorry.
Well, that's fine.
When there were there was the cowboys were trying to wrangle the car with the horses, which is just the stupidest shit I've ever seen.
Oh, that was when he was killed. That's when the car was killed and the horses and the riders.
They were trying to wrangle it like fucking like they're cattle driving it.
Sure.
And then there was the big lady. She's like, "Tadpole!"
What?
You didn't
catch that? No, I didn't catch that at all. I did not catch that at all.
Yeah, like after the other one was like talking shit to the car and called it a chicken, when it drives away, she says, "Tadpole."
Why the hell would tadpole?
I don't know.
Is it a slight? Is it an insult?
I don't know. I didn't fucking say it. I didn't recognize that it was said.
We immediately wake up from the desert in the hospital as Wade is being looked at by Dr. Polbrook, who is the father of the young woman who was killed earlier in the movie.
The cyclist.
Yes. He says that Wade has to stay overnight. When Wade tells Polbrook that they are sorry for his daughter's death, the doctor, to me, suspiciously replies, "Yes, I am too. Lauren, Luke, and some of the other deputies visit Wade. Lauren wonders aloud why the car didn't smash through the cemetery. Denson wants to know if Wade saw the driver, and Wade speaks to his kids before he says goodbye to Lauren. Luke and Wade have a heart-to-heart. Denson drives Lauren home as the car follows them down the dark road. Lauren agrees to let Denson go check on his family before he has to return to keep watch. The wind that preceded the car's arrival previously scares Lauren into her house to take shelter. Once she is safe, she calls Wade with her back facing the window behind her, giving us a view into the darkness beyond. Headlights appear in the darkness. The closer that they get, the more frantic Lauren becomes. Soon, the headlights are smashing through the window as Lauren looks on in horror. The car punches straight through the house and straight through Laura.
This is the scene from my childhood that I remember. It's the only part I remember from this movie.
Damn, I could see why.
It scared me.
Sure.
We had a window like that, but luckily it faced like the house next door. It didn't face anything that a car could drive through, but I used to think, gosh, I'm so glad that ours isn't in the front of the house because that could happen to us.
Yeah.
It was terrifying, but even as a child, women drove me crazy when they, or any adult in a movie, drove me crazy when they just didn't turn their head. Like, come on, lady. She's talking about how she's hearing, she can hear it, but all she has to do is turn her head slightly, not even a lot. Just ever so slightly to the left, and she's going to see the car is right outside her house.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, everybody knows you never stand in front of a window. Ever. Nobody stands in front of windows when something bad is happening.
No.
You can stand in front of it on a beautiful day when you're not suspecting anything bad happening. But if you know somebody bad is outside, you stay away from the windows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
But somehow, this woman who knows enough to yell at a car in a cemetery doesn't know to stay away from windows and to look to the side when she hears the revving of an engine. That was just asinine.
Yep. Lauren was not keeping her head on the swivel.
No. And I also don't, I think I didn't remember that it was the lead female character who was killed in this scene.
Okay.
I think in my mind it was just a side character.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize it was the main guy's girlfriend.
Sure.
And maybe I did at the time, but thinking back about it all these years, I was like, some woman was standing in front of a window and got, you know, run over by this car. And she was probably a minor character because who would do that to the main lead, female lead?
Sure, sure. I was a little surprised that they did kill her.
Yeah.
Like, now he's got more motivated, or it gives him more... Yeah. More to fight for.
It was either her or the kids.
Ammo. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
You needed some ammo.
And they weren't going to do the kids because it was 1977. Right. You do that shit now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could have it kill the kids. And
yeah.
It wouldn't
as long
be,
as
it
it's not
be,
a dog, yeah. Don't kill the dog. Yeah.
Yeah, the dog is the only one that
I will not watch the movie if they kill the dog.
You watch or Sean a horse. Rick.
Yeah, I didn't know that was going to happen, really. I don't think
it happened in the first 10 minutes, though. You could have just been like, oh, I don't like this.
I was at the theater. What was I going to walk out? I don't do that.
It wasn't a dog.
Never walked out.
It was a puppy.
In what?
John Wick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I thought you said Riddick.
That was really rough. That was a really rough time for me.
Oh.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one either. That was.
Was that your attempt at a. Was that a pun?
No.
Were you punning?
No.
Did you have a rough day?
What? Oh my god, no, I was talking about John Wick.
That's what I'm saying. He had a rough day.
He did have a rough day. I had a rough day too, having to see that little puppy.
Yeah. It was sad. Wade, Denton, and Luke all grieve at the murder scene. Like, immediately after, Wade's good to go. They're like, yeah, you can't, no, you can go, fine, sure, whatever.
Yeah, just like when Luke kills the Rancor, you know, and that guy's all sad.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Same exact thing.
Yeah. Same exact thing.
Luke suggests that a demon possesses the car, and that's why it couldn't enter the cemetery. I know. See? Yes. Yes.
Unholy ground is what he said. Yes.
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 Back at the sheriff's office, Wade devises a plan with the remaining deputies. Unfortunately, it also requires fucking Amos.
Because he had all the bombs.
Yeah.
That
still,
map. Did
still, he could have died and everybody could have known that Amos has fucking explosives. high explosive.
Did you like that how topographical high? Map they had, though, on the wall the whole time?
Yeah, it was great. I fucking loved that
Yeah, I was
thing.
Like, that is fucking cool. Yeah. You know, and they actually used it compared to, like, fucking here's one with the colors, and you're like, oh, I can't tell.
And
because it doesn't really, I don't understand it.
Sure, and they might need that because there's certain types of
What was the
town
called, Thompson or something?
I don't recall. Yeah. I don't recall. Maybe there's a bunch of vehicle roll-offs or whatever, so they need to sort of know the incline of the land without it being a flat map, because not everybody can read those elevation lines. Mm. Mm. Is what I'm guessing.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you got it dead on, bud. Maybe there was like one blind cop that worked there and he needed it. They're like, here you go, Jeff.
Yo, yep.
Start at the top right. That's Mount Vesuvial. You go down here. That's Highway 68.
What about 69?
And like, that's me. Get your hands off me.
There are some intercut shots of Wade tinkering with his motorcycle, followed by a shirtless but with pants and gun belt shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your gratuitous sexy shot. Actually, the second one. This is the second time.
It's the second. Yeah, they had to give him. Well, what else were they going to do? You know, they got a hot guy.
True.
Well, you missed the scene right before she got hit by the car in her house. There's the painting that she was working on.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. Was he shirtless in that,
no,
too?
No,
it's
wasn't.
Just a headshot.
It was always just a portrait.
No, it's a whole bust. It's the whole bust.
Oh, okay.
It's my thing was like, is she obsessed with him? Does he know? Is he sitting for this? Or is it just something that she's been working on for a while, maybe even before they started dating?
I think they were pretty much going to say his birthday was coming up, and then she died before she could finish this masterpiece of art.
I know. Did the car take that out, too? Does he have that to remember her by?
I think it's in the trunk of the car. Yeah?
Yeah.
He was like, what do you think's in the trunk of that car?
I don't know. Fucking demon guts? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just like
all the souvenirs.
It's Barbara Streisand. She's
I'll say
like,
one
stay
thing.
Away from
they,
my man.
They never talk about the smell, so there's no fire and brimstone coming
this
off that
true.
Car.
This is true.
Even though it is demonic.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a tidbit to add at in the beginning scenes of like, ooh, do you smell sulfur? Like, no, I don't.
Oh,
you know? You know, it doesn't have to be anything big.
I think it's powered off of children. That's my idea.
It hasn't killed any children, though.
It doesn't kill children.
It doesn't kill. It just takes them. It takes
does
the whole
candy
town
thing.
Out. Yeah. Just like, hey, look here. There's a puppy inside. Come pet the puppy. And then the trunk just engulfs the child, and that's the fuel it needs for
should
the day.
Should have been like a Pied Piper situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a more gentle horn.
Yeah. Oh, an ice cream sound. Well, this is a whole new movie that I'm going to write, and it's called The Ice Cream Man. I think they already did it.
Yeah. I think, what was it, the Howard guy that was in
it? I don't think I ever watched it, but
it
I remember
was,
it.
It was the guy that was from...
It's Ron Howard's
Durant.
Brother.
Oh, Clint.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yes.
It was on the shelf of the video store back in the day. Uh-huh. Like, I know where it was. I don't think I ever put it on.
Well, I just think of from Spawn, there was a guy that was the ice cream man that was like he would steal children and... That was in the animated Spawn stuff and obviously in the comic.
Yep.
Really creepy.
The other shots that are intercut are of the deputies loading up high explosives. Wade leaves note for Margie about her taking care of the kids. Wade mounts his motorcycle, but determines that he needs to do some tuning before he leaves. He walks into the garage, oblivious to the car. But not us, unless you were not watching the movie.
That was a really weird scene.
I wonder if it may have been darker in the theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Than it was on digital.
I can see that.
Because you wouldn't do that.
No, they,
as a film
they
maker,
used to do that all the time.
Really?
They used to use so much light and it was supposed to be dark in a room and people were walking around like, I can't see you, but it would be this light. You know,
sure.
They did that all the time back then. They just didn't know how to properly light things. Yeah. That scene was so weird though, because what the fuck was up with Margie? She's such a dumb cunt in that scene.
She's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What happened?
She was all like flirty. Yeah. She comes down like, what's going on? It's like his girlfriend just died. Could you not be such
well,
a...
I don't
like
think
a,
she knows
no,
she's
that.
Oh, she doesn't
him.
Know?
Yeah, she's,
yeah no. she didn't know that.
They didn't tell her?
No. That's what she was saying. She's like, where's fucking Lori?
Oh, that's what, right. Like, she just comes out like, is so-and-so in there with you? But it's yeah. like, there's a killer car going around. Yeah. Can you not be so giggly? Like, that was just so annoying.
Didn't you read my note?
Yeah, she was driving me crazy. And he's telling her, like, Margie, be quiet and go back inside.
Yeah.
What's going on? He's like, are you listening to me, Margie? No. And she's just like, no. Oh, my God. I wanted to murder Margie. I was like, throw her in there with the car and just shut the door. She's done. Margie's done.
Yeah, so we see it. And the only person who would be surprised in that moment would have been Wade. And then after yelling at Margie to get back into the house, Wade shuts and locks a wooden door and a small bolt lock. Who the fuck is he keeping out?
Yeah.
He wasn't keeping the car out. was he trying just to keep Margie out?
Probably that dumb Margie. She doesn't know how to stop. You know, she just...
That would keep Margie out, yeah.
Margie just cares, and you guys don't
and maybe
understand.
The kids,
you're sitting
the kids
here
are up
with
there.
Your frowny faces, talking about Margie with her big smile and big other things. She's a beautiful, wonderful woman, a grade A woman. Grab her by the pussy. That's all I gotta say.
Wade attempts to escape, but the car has other plans. The car revs its engine, which scares awake his two daughters. The garage then begins to fill with smoke as the horn blares. Wade uses the car to escape to his motorcycle, and the black car chases Wade.
So if you're stuck in this garage, and he does that move three times to try to unlock it, right? Did he have a gun? I don't know.
He had a gun. Yeah. And I think
but he had a pretty big screwdriver.
Wade already knew that shooting the car wasn't going to do him any good.
Yeah, but is it like screwdriver fucking protected?
Proof? Yeah. Oh yeah, it's like
what if
you
went in there
if you just slowly stab the car, like it does more damage.
What if when he pulled they showed it, they're like, and the blade of that screwdriver says Excalibur.
I'm gonna plunge this into my demon
as villain. But yeah, he didn't even try to like jump on the hood. Like, he just kept like trying to go to the fucking door. I'm like, there's other options here, buddy. You know,
like, yeah, fucking, like the door that you locked.
Yeah, start stabbing the motherfucker. Like, try to do something. It's a car. It can't go 0 to 900 miles an hour in fucking like 3 feet.
So the car pursues Wade all about town and the surrounding areas. What Wade had intended was for the car to chase him, but what he did not intend for was the car to appear in his garage, which now put the plan into immediate motion. Wade is way ahead of schedule, which means the trap isn't fully set. So the other deputies ask Wade to distract the car for a little while longer. Wade does his best to distract the car, but it runs the truck carrying deputies off the road. So Wade and the car then play chase again, up and down and all around the desert. All the while, the deputies are setting up high explosives. Wade has made it to his extraction point as he ascends a rope that dangles off of the canyon wall. The car rams the wall, causing pieces of the canyon wall of solid rock to break away underneath Wade's feet. But the car is still unable to reach Wade, so it drives away towards the trap. Wade reaches the top of the canyon safely as the car has found them and speeds towards them. We cut to the deputies who have planted the explosives. The wire that they have used for some of the explosives runs short, so Amos has to splice the wires together. Wade, now accompanied by Luke, wants the car to spot him, and the car abides. The car, with Luke and Wade in its sights, speeds headlong for glory.
Your Thelma and Louise moment in the middle of the road.
At the very last moment, Luke and Wade jump in opposite directions away from the oncoming car. The car flies off the edge of the canyon, horn blaring, as the high explosives are set off, which destroys the car. As the car burns, there's a vague rendering of something demonic that takes shape in a fireball.
It's really hard to see.
Yeah.
It almost looked like serpent form.
Maybe. Like, the only thing that I noticeably saw that I was that big, like, near the end where the fireball, like, shot out of what presumably could have been its mouth.
Yeah.
All the men on looking really feigned horror. Some doing their best to be like real scared, and some of them just going way over the top. Luke professes he saw something, but Wade remains steadfast. The remaining men stand as one of them looks like they were posing for a freeze frame, but it's actually just still rolling and fades to black as somewhere in Los Angeles, the car prowls the streets, horn a blaring. Roll credits. Megs, what's your final reaction to this movie?
Well, again, it's just that thing where it started out kind of enjoyable, and I thought this movie looks kind of good. It takes me back to a simpler time, the 1970s, even though their movies were crap back then.
Yeah.
I still, you know, I was little back then, and I saw this movie in the 80s. I saw it later on probably some like local channel horror, you know, horror, scary movie time. But it just, like halfway through the movie, maybe even before halfway through the movie, it just gets kind of like, they're trying too hard. They don't know what they're doing. They've lost the focus. But I don't know. It's not that bad. I enjoyed it a little bit. I wanted to see that scene again where the girlfriend gets run over by a car in her own home. Yeah. So strange. Let's get her. Let's have her make sure she's standing right in front of a window when there's a killer car running around.
Yeah.
And tell her not to look outside, and we got this done. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was enjoyable enough. I probably won't watch it again, but I could see throwing it on as a joke with people wanting, you know, if you're sitting around, you know, like let's put this movie on and laugh about it. You know, I can see that. It's entertaining enough to kind of throw on if you don't want to have to pay attention to it, but you want something in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Josh, how about you?
Okay, this movie missed a mark on, I want to say, four things.
Okay.
One, it should have had, whenever you saw the orange tint of the you know, looking out through the thing.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, when you're looking from inside the car out, there should have been some kind of music, some kind of score, something notable to kind of make it memorable.
They spent too much money on the car. They couldn't afford it.
And herein lies the problem after that, is that this movie is literally a ripoff of two Steven Spielberg movies, which is Jaws and Duel. You basically stole two things. It's Jaws. There's no way around it.
Yeah, no, you're right. It has the elements of Jaws. You're correct.
Literally the beginning of Jaws is fucking it killing two people and knocking them off a boat or whatever and then eating them. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then going on to something else. Like, it's just a, you know.
Sure,
well,
sure.
It's a man's quest to fight the villain, which is exactly what Duel was. And Steven Spielberg loves stuff like that.
And then
from
that point on, it lacked a little bit of vision. It lacked money. Overall, the idea is fine. It's like, it didn't commit to it well enough, and they didn't have the, like I said, this is the 70s movie, so you're not going to get a lot out of it, but it's not well thought out.
No. It was thought of, and then...
From the base level of, this is a demonic car, you know what I mean? Like there's no explanation of why it's there, what it's doing there.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, like... All you get is hollow ground and the fact that, you don't even know if no one's in it, honestly.
You don't know. You don't.
It could just be a very tiny person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was very smart and engineered this whole setup so where he does it from the back seat.
The back seat.
Or
back
her
seat driver.
Does it from the back seat.
It's the guy from, it's Odd Job.
Yeah.
Or the other one. No, it's tattoo.
Yeah.
Tattoo.
Rene
Aubergine. No, that's the other.
Hervé Villechaize.
We'll just call him Tattoo.
Yeah. Hervé Villechaize.
It's Villechaize is his last name.
Hervé Villechaize.
You know, it would have been funny if this car showed up in like Cannonball Run. And started murdering some of those like slower cars.
It did get a sequel.
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah.
The Revenge.
The car, Road to Revenge, January 8th, 2019. Ronnie Cox.
Wow. That many years later.
Ronnie Cox, what are you doing, man?
Well, he's fucking money. 75 years old. He's 80.
Who is the main guy in that?
I am not sure.
He made dick money off of, what was it? Total Recall and. Was it RoboCop?
Yeah, yes.
He was the dickhead in both those movies.
Yeah, he was.
He did turn, this was like his last saving grace, is probably being a good guy, but he was still an alcoholic, which is, there's nothing wrong with being an alcoholic, but yeah, then he just became dickhead in movie.
Yeah, and I outside of those two, I don't really, I can't really think of anything else. I want to say
he played cop in like almost everything or some kind of a colonel.
If I have seen him, then it's probably going to have been in a very small role, and that was really really just more of a typecasting role of like, yeah, you have that air and look and demeanor, so you're going to be this type of...
Who, Ronnie Cox?
Yes.
He usually plays, but he often plays the villain.
Yeah, no, no. That's what we're saying, yeah. Regardless, like, it might not be a big role, but it'd be just something small, whether he's yes.
It's like Bruce, villain or not. It's like Bruce Dern playing a grumpy old man.
Yeah, you know? Yes. He was never the protagonist. Ronnie Cox was never the protagonist.
No, he's a character actor.
I enjoyed this movie. It was fun. It was bananas. I got to laugh at it. It was fun to see where the writing sort of dropped off for one thought and then just picked up from another. It would have been cooler if had they had Dr. Pulbrook as some type of, like, I don't know, maybe they didn't really want to go that far. Some type of weird cultish leader who did, you know, called upon the power of something, and now because his daughter lied to him about not going to where she said she was going, he unleashed this evil upon the town.
Yeah.
You know, they never questioned which would have been the first person, the town mechanic, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, yeah.
It's about time I've had my revenge on you all.
It's like, I've noticed your sign. It's a giant pentagram with the fucking, with a motor in the middle. What's that about?
Yeah. Oh, you know. I like
that would have been fucking great. Like, it's just, it's something so obvious, but also, like, you kind of got to be aware of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You would want it to be a inverted.
Yeah.
Because you know that's the...
And this goes to your, like, they don't kill kids. Like, they should have done, like, a fucking, like, late night car hop, and the car just goes fucking ape shit crazy.
In the park.
Because like, in the beginning, it felt like it was going towards, like, young people, you know? Yeah, it's like, yeah. But that was just the writing of it all, you know? Not necessarily, like, the actual, like, not message, but the theme of it, of what the car was doing. That would have been funny, though.
Or its motives.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been, but, you know, they didn't.
Like, what motivates you, car?
He said money.
He did.
Max, what do you want to rate this movie?
There wasn't a whole lot that was great about this movie. But it wasn't horrible either. I'm gonna give it 2 unfinished portraits of James Brolin.
Mm. Okay, all right.
Because I want one of those for my wall. Because
I want
to know more about the portrait. Pretty much, that's okay, what I really just want to know about. I want them to explain that to me. What was going on with that portrait?
Right.
Why was that's weird? If you went into somebody's house and you saw a giant portrait of somebody else you knew, and you'd be like, "Hey, did you know that there's a portrait of you in their house?"
Yeah, that would. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I would have to let that person know just
in case.
Yeah,
I would buy it. That's what I would do. Put it in my bathroom.
What if they don't want to sell it? Because I'm guessing that you mean when you saw it in that person's house, hypothetically, that they wanted it for themselves.
Yeah.
So then why would they want to sell it?
Yeah.
Then I would stage a car accident going into the house and then steal it.
There you go. All right.
And that's why that happened.
It wasn't in the trunk, but in the back seat of the car.
There's a giant portrait.
There's a portrait. Yes.
How about you, Josh? What are you going to rate this?
It's okay. So I'm going to go along the lines of 2460 big blocks.
There. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I can't really do more than that. It's just like the writing is so shit. It's just so underwhelming. At the end of the day, And it's one of those things that you should just go like, yeah, it's a fucking car killing people. That's awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like underwhelming because I'm desensitized. I'll say that's what it is. Like I'm very desensitized.
Sure.
If I watch this back in the day and then Star Wars came out the next fucking week, oh my God, dude.
Sure. Like,
I'd be the sweatiest little boy. Just fucking like couldn't even take it. Like, oh my God.
That's a picture there.
Yeah. Just so sweaty.
Child walking down the street.
Wearing a diaper.
Oh God!
Yeah,
you weren't even born yet.
Yeah, well, it would be like the linen cloth then, or something. I don't even know. When does that come into effect?
I don't know.
Anyways, yeah, no, it's not a bad movie. It's just like comparatively speaking, it doesn't hold up.
No.
The car looks cool as fuck.
Yeah, like, the car is cool.
I can say that. That would be beyond a. Like, that holds the test of time. That looks like an evil car. Way more than Christine or any other movie. That car looks fucking evil. And, they did a great job of picking that and do the altercations they did. And they did a bunch of alterations.
Okay.
So, I know an altercation is an alteration. But they did alterations to it. And the car looks good, you know? You don't get to see the interior. It's probably, like, hollowed out with the fucking death-proof seat in there or some shit like that. Oh, maybe it was the same guy. Good. Going back to Death Proof, which is a couple episodes ago, if you guys ever watch this or if anybody ever listens to us, so
there's about
46. Listen, I appreciate the six of you. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Fucking awesome.
I'm gonna give it two French horns.
All right.
Yeah. Two mangled French horns.
Yeah. Like, I agree. It's something that it's entertaining because it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's bad, so you can laugh at it. You can have fun with it. Like, it was entertaining. Like, it wasn't a slog. It was fun.
It was no tadpole.
Yeah.
could have been two tadpoles. Hey,
was Christine better than this movie? Yeah, Christine was better than this.
Better
movie.
Acting.
Better acting, but you're also talking about John Carpenter.
I mean, Christine looked better. Everything about it was better, except the I always hated that lead character.
Sure.
I always had so much trouble with him, although he also was in The Legend of Billie Jean.
Yeah, he was a sweaty little boy.
He was the sexy boy lead in Legend of Billie Jean, which was just bizarre to me because he upset me in that too.
Yeah, it was like Tom Cruise in Legend. You know, he's wearing his little his little weird short pants things, and then just like all thighs all day. You're like, it's a little weird. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And then the children and the fucking little creepy fucking, well, I don't know if they're dwarves or elves. Anyways, that's Legend. We'll talk about this some other time.
Yeah. We'll talk about
God,
when we
I
watch
so.
That movie. Now, we brings us to our next segment, which is going to be what the next movie is. And it is Meg's pick. Meg's, what movie are you choosing?
We are going to be watching Wrist Cutters, A Love Story.
Nice. Mm-hmm. It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
They're in a car a lot. So.
They're actually riding around in a car.
The main people.
It's a movie I haven't seen in a minute.
And cops getting in and out of cars.
Yep.
And motorcycles.
Dust off the old DVD and watch it.
Yeah, very cool. I'll very cool.
Pushing buttons on my phone because I don't have a remote to my TV and watch that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. It's been what year did that come out?
That came out what 99, 2000? Or was it a little later?
I think it was like 2002. It's after a video store for us. I know that.
Oh, I wasn't.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah.
Oh gosh, 2007, it was a lot later. Yeah. I was picturing myself still working at the video store when that came out, and I was not.
No,
I was still getting free video rentals though.
Mm-hmm.
I was still getting the hookup. Yeah,
you're getting that hookup.
Getting the hookup. Yeah.
Man.
Well, that was also that was also the time of Netflix, you know. Coming into its own with the DVD subscription.
Yep. Oh, geez, Megan, you think you can give me one of them their discounts you got? I love that.
You sound just like everybody.
I know. It's amazing.
All right, so you could watch or you can find Wrist Cutters on Amazon Prime. You can watch it there. Probably some other places. Megs doesn't have to because she has the DVD. So
the DVD.
She gets to watch it without having to go online. And maybe you have it too. I don't know. But you can find it online in a couple places. And now it brings us to our next segment, which is Give Me the Juice. what is what we talk about, what we're currently watching, what we're excited for, what we've heard, what we've read, what we've, I don't know, hiked or decided to look at and take note. Megs, you got anything new?
Yeah, I watched something pretty good the other night. It was last stop in Yuma County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was I enjoyed that movie. It was the guy who wrote and directed it was I don't think he's done a lot, mostly shorts. I don't think he's somebody who's done a lot, but the main guy was Jim Cummings, who did
sounds familiar.
Yeah, he did that werewolf movie. He wrote, directed, and starred in what was that werewolf movie? It was actually really good.
Is it Werewolves Within?
It was
the one with the guy from the Detroiters.
I think I might know which one you're talking about.
The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Yes, that's yep. Okay. Yeah. I have not seen that movie, but I recall the trailer. I saw the trailer a couple times.
I liked it, and I liked him in it, and that kind of stuck out to me. And so this was why he was one of the reasons I wanted to see this movie.
Robert Forster's last movies. But
the main thing about this Yuma movie is that it had a really great indie feel. Look to it.
There's
no such thing as a really, you know, a real indie film anymore. They're just not a thing with a Netflix and everybody else out there. Sure. Somebody's always financing. And this one actually had that look and feel. And it all takes place in one setting. It's a small cast. It was enjoyable. It wasn't great, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. And it took me back to the old 90s, the 90s movies. Kind of like somebody, you could tell this guy's a fan of like Tarantino and some of the other, you know.
It had a little suspense thriller-ish?
A little bit. You didn't know what was going to happen. It was
okay.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was fun to check it out. It was playing at theaters, but it's streaming for, you have to pay for it to stream. Yeah. And I think it's still in some theaters right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Josh, how about you?
I started like 5 shows, but didn't really finish any of them. One that I watched, though, that was very interesting, is called Sweet Bitter. It had the girl from Fallout, the one with the far apart eyes. And it's about her going to New York and like just out of the, she's like a bumpkin and goes to New York and like modern day times and tries to like get a job. And it's like, I used to work at a Starbucks. And they're like, get the fuck out of here, you idiot. And she walks into one of those like the most prestigious like restaurants. Like this is that like serious ass.
Sure, you like, away with like possibly $500.
Yeah, like that. Well, more than that.
Sure, more.
You're talking about like people walk away at 35 sometimes.
Sure,
but it's very much about the industry. So if you've ever served tables, bartended, or anything like that, or even want to peek into it, it's very much about that, and it's interesting. Just how it's a finer version of waiting. Because you get, it's like, it's about the wine, it's about this, it's about that, it's about the actual food part of it on top of the serving and what you need to do to maintain that, how every part of the house, back of the house, front of the house, bartenders hate each other at the same time, but then go hang out later. Like, it's very interesting, and I think they have like 2 seasons out. I think it's on Starz, so you can watch it through the Starz version or whatever, but really cool. No other big names in it, but there's people that are notable, like their characters they play, like they're probably somebody from something else, but I don't even know. But that stood out the best for me. I watched like 4 episodes and I fell asleep because I was tired, because I always watch things at 3 or 4 in the morning like an idiot. So, but that was a good show. That's a really good show. Check it out.
What was it called again?
Sweet Bitter.
Sweet Bitter. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Very cool. I did something for the first time that I hadn't done ever, which was rent a movie that was in theaters and watched it at home. And that movie was The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. It was spectacular. It is about the a covert operation that was authorized by Winston Churchill for a couple of mercenaries to go fuck up some Nazi operation in Africa. It's based on a true story. The characters are based on a true story. I don't know if the actual event is itself. However, it was fucking great. It had Henry Cavill in it. The guy from the TV or the Amazon Prime Reacher. And he's fucking spectacular.
Yeah, he's a douchebag, but I do want to see this.
There was a couple other people in there. Like it was really fucking good.
I forgot about this.
It was hilarious. It was entertaining. Fucking Cary Elwes is in it. Mm-hmm. Like it's fucking great.
Yeah, I forgot about this movie. I wanted to see this.
And it's right up my alley. I enjoy that history. So anything that gives me more, anything that feeds my nerd stuff, I like. Yeah. So it was great. You could watch it in theaters or rent it, however you want to rent it. Check it out if you have a chance. Yeah, it's really good. And then it brings us to reviews, but we do not have any to read. Sorry about that, Josh.
Woohoo!
So, if you would like to follow us on Instagram, you can at the Amateur Movie Review Hour. Or you could email us at the Amateur Movie Review Hour at gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I know Josh does, and I'm sure Megs does too.
I also do. You are right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess correctly.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to leave a review on Spotify, that's something you can do, or on Apple Podcast, Audible as well, which is exciting to learn. But yeah, thank you for listening, and check you later.
Check you later.